Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The language in Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we have today sounds very militaristic. The words speak to those under attack and seem to encourage us to use force, military force. Of interest is the fact that Paul notes that he is an ambassador in chains, and that all of this defense he has called his hearers to protect themselves with is in order to make you ready to proclaim a gospel of peace. There's a feeling of inconsistency here. It sounds as though the followers of Christ are to arm themselves, be ready for battle. But if we look more closely, that's not exactly what Paul says. What Paul says is to put on the whole armor of God, stand firm, and be ready to proclaim a gospel of peace. And he seems to be an exemplar of this because he himself is issuing this call while he is in chains, in prison. So what I want us to think about today is, what is it that we use as our armor? Is our armor the armor of God, or is it something else? We all have armor that we use to protect ourselves, But does our armor protect us, or does it merely keep us from experiencing the fullness of God, the fullness of life, the fullness of being human and all that that entails? There may be benefits to our armor, but do the benefits outweigh the harmful effects? So, what armor did you bring with you today? Is it the armor of God or the armor of self-protection? The armor of self-protection suits us up to avoid painful experiences, to not deal with experiences that we think will hurt us. The armor of self-protection is there to keep things or people or experiences out that we think will be painful. We all have this armor. It might be considered a defense mechanism. Sometimes we need this so that the experiences we encounter do not overwhelm us. But if we weigh ourselves down with too much protective armor, we miss the experience of life, the very life that we have been given with all the joys and sadness and high points and low points. If we shield ourselves with too much protective armor, then we separate ourselves from others and do not let anyone get too close. We want to avoid the pain of life. We all do. The pain of life, whether it is ours personally or that of others that rubs off on us, is pain nonetheless, and is something that we would just as soon skip. Often those working in life's trenches put on armor to keep from being dragged down into the mire of pain and despair. Medical professionals often refer to those in their care by their condition rather than by their name. When I worked in the Cancer Treatment Center, it was not infrequent that we were told that we had a pancreas in room 1 and a liver in room 5, when in fact, those body parts were inside a living person. They just happened to be the cancerous parts of the body that we were treating. It's a defense. It's armor. It sets a distance between the disease and the fact that there is an individual in need of care, suffering, scared, and in pain. It's easier to put that armor on, to remove ourselves from that place where human suffering gets all over us. If we put on that armor, that barrier, and accessorize our armor with blinders, we end up finding that we are safe, or we're pretending to be safe. And we can go along our merry way, just like that priest and Levite did when they chose to pass by the injured man, beaten and robbed on the side of the road. So what is our armor? Do we protect ourselves from involvement by claiming to be too busy? Do we shield ourselves from real engagement with our children by finding all sorts of activities to keep them so busy that there is not time for genuine conversation? What armor did we walk in with today? It seems to me that a very common armor is the armor of being a private person. Private people have very heavy armor. Armor that does not let others in. Armor that refuses to allow for vulnerability. And vulnerability, the allowing of others in, especially in a Christian community, is what we as Christians should be about. Separation and otherness is not the call of the gospel.
A community of caring and unity is the call of the gospel. But there can be no unity in privacy. That doesn't mean that we all need to be together sharing every intimate detail of our daily lives. But it does not allow for secrecy. Most of all, it demands openness and sharing. Sharing of joys and sharing of sorrows. And that requires trust, and it requires vulnerability. And we are so conditioned not to put down that armor and allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We would much rather stand tall, fully armed with all our defenses, hands on our hips, boldly proclaiming, as my 2-year-old daughter did about 18 years ago, "I can do it myself." And perhaps we can. Perhaps we can do it ourselves. All alone, with no help from anyone, standing tall and strong in all our armor. But how much better could we do it together? How much more can we do together if we choose to take off all our self-protective armor and put on the armor of God? It seems as though there's great cost involved in shedding our protective armor, as if our very lives would be threatened. The only threat is that of living life fully, surrounded by others who are also living life fully. Not with a breastplate that protects us from each other, but a breastplate that allows others in. When we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to join in the experiences of others, our community broadens. We do not come away the same, nor do those we encounter. I was called Friday morning at about 7:15, by a mother and father whose 23-year-old daughter had just been killed in a car accident. She was their only child. She was in law school at Alabama. She was beautiful, and she was dead. There's no answer to the ever-present question, why? And more than anything, I wanted to arm myself with every piece of self-protective armor I had so I could avoid having their pain wash over me. It was my own daughter's 20th birthday that day. And I didn't want to imagine that sort of anguish. It would have really been much easier to have been a bank teller on Friday. Be anything, anywhere, but there. But there was no armor strong enough in my bag, except the armor of God. The armor that allowed them into my life, and me into theirs, and shielded us with the knowledge that although we didn't have any good answers, we are assured that Callie is with God, and we know that is good. Paul says, "Stand therefore, and fasten on a belt of truth around your waist, and put on a breastplate of righteousness." And goodness knows we need a belt of truth in our world today. That breastplate of righteousness might be a little bit more difficult. Righteousness is such a churchy word. So much so that we can remove ourselves from it. Righteousness is something that those high and holy people have. Not so. Righteousness, being right with God, is not something that we can do ourselves, not something that we earn by being good. It's a gift and it has been given to us. Righteousness is something that God has given us. All we have to do is put it on. For shoes, Paul suggests the comfortable type that will make us ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Truth, righteousness, and peace is what we have so far for our going out wear. And finally, we are to take a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which Paul says is the Word of God. With this armor, with this protection, we are to live our lives. The protection of God, who is with us at all times and in all places, arming us, surrounding us, and upholding us, so that we can put down that armor of self-protection and enter into life.